If you want to go ahead and turn to the 23rd Psalm, we're going to be spending our time primarily there this morning. It's always interesting to see the way that different people react to different circumstances in life. And as you know, different kinds of people react in different kinds of ways. With the situation that has happened in our country this week, we've seen a lot of people reacting in a lot of different ways. They have acted, some with anger and hatred, some with concern, some when the events occurred, acted selfishly, caring only about themselves and their own lives, while others risked their own lives to help others. There are so many different ways that people react to any circumstance. We want to look at the 23rd Psalm and see here in this passage something about the way that David saw his relationship with God. And hopefully as Christians we can have a relationship with God that will allow us to make it through any situation, no matter what it is, and to know to depend on Him. We'll begin in verse 1, and as we go along, I want to point out some of these things in this passage, in this psalm, and compare what he says in this psalm with some of the things that occurred in his life. And we'll see that some of the things he says in the psalm don't seem like they fit with the life of David. It seems like that can't be his life he's talking about, can it? And yet, we realize as Christians that we too can have the kind of a struggle through life that David had, and yet still be able to say some of the things that he says in this psalm. Verse 1, he begins, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now it's interesting that he says want there. That doesn't mean that that God will provide everything that everyone wants. No, he won't do that. He won't give everybody everything that they desire if they follow him. No. David is speaking of his decision. "Since the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." I won't want more things than what he's going to provide for me. I'll know that he's going to provide everything I need, and so I'm not going to always be wanting something more, something else. See, we look at the world around us, and they're always wanting something more. They always want something else. They always want more of whatever they've got. But David says, "I shall not want." In other words, I'm going to be satisfied with what God gives me. Have you ever noticed that sheep are kind of that way? The sheep go where the shepherd leads them, and the shepherd leads them to the pasture, and they eat the grass that's there, and they don't complain that they didn't get some other kind of grass, or that they didn't get something else to have to eat with their grass. They don't complain about things like that. Sheep are content to do whatever the shepherd leads them to do. And if the Lord is going to be our shepherd, we're going to be content in that way. Now certainly it's difficult at times when we suffer for some reason, when we have a problem in our life, when we see unjust men behaving in evil ways and causing pain and suffering and sorrow. And yet, despite all of that, we can still know that the Lord is our shepherd and He is there for us. Then he goes on in verse 2, he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." It's interesting, as I've looked into the lives of sheep, not too in-depth, I don't suppose, but as you study about what sheep do and their behaviors and some of those things to understand what David is talking about here. See, David was a shepherd, so he knew about the shepherd and his relationship with the sheep. But notice what he said. "He leads me in green pastures." A caring shepherd is going to take his sheep not out to the barren wilderness where they can't find good grass to eat, but the good shepherd is going to lead his sheep to a place where they can have everything that they need. David surely knew that, having been a shepherd. And also having had the Lord as his shepherd, he had seen the way the Lord had cared for him and provided everything he needed all through his life. And then he goes on to say, he leads me beside the still waters. It's an interesting thing about sheep. You might not think so just by looking at them, but sheep are very skittish types of animals. They're what we might refer to them as scaredy cats. And part of the reason for that is the fact that their eyesight is not very good. They can't see very well. And so if you lead them up to a rushing river or a rough waters, it's going to frighten them because they're not going to be able to see clearly what's going on. And so they're going to have that fear. And so it's interesting that David says that he leads me beside the still waters. That's where you would take sheep. You'd take them to the pond or to the slow stream that's not going to be rushing and raging. That's not going to be frightening to those sheep. But let's think about, for just a minute, what David experienced in his life. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and he is leading me beside the still waters. David was persecuted and chased and hunted by Saul. Had to go into hiding. Feared for his life. Had Saul make several attempts on his life. And then he became king. And oh, well, he became king. Everything must have smoothed out after that. No, didn't work that way. After he became king, his own son even rebelled against him. Had to run, he had to leave the city, leave his palace, leave his kingdom in the hands of someone else for a time before he could take it back over. He had to flee in fear for his very life. Another thing that occurred throughout his situation with Bathsheba, and God, of course, causing the death of the child born as a result of that union because of the sin in that situation. He had wars fighting against the Philistines, fighting against the other Canaanites in the land. We wouldn't think of that as being a life that was led near the still waters, would we? We think of that's like being out in the middle of a raging storm. But David says, he leads me beside the still waters. David recognized that while, yes, I'm sure he knew there was turmoil in his life, he recognized that without the Lord guiding him, things would have been much, much worse. Things would have been unimaginable if it hadn't been for the Lord being his shepherd and guiding him. He goes on to say in verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David, at times when he had sinned and was confronted with that sinfulness, repented of that sin, saw the mercy of God at work. He saw the way that God can restore a soul that's been harmed by sin, by evil emotions and evil thoughts, as David had. We might keep that in mind during this time when many are hurting and their souls are in turmoil, that the Lord can restore our soul. The Lord can restore us to the fullness of it. And then he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Not just letting me go anywhere I want to go. Now the shepherd always knows that there are dangers out there for the sheep. And so the shepherd keeps the sheep in the safe places, keeps them in the areas where danger can't strike. And in a spiritual sense, the place where danger can't strike is the place where Satan and the other wolves and lions that are out there to get us can't attack us is when we're in those paths of righteousness. When we're being looked after by the great shepherd, Christ. He goes on to say in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's an interesting verse, this one. I don't know how many of you have ever faced a deadly situation. I don't know if I ever have or not. Certainly not one, a place where I had to walk through that. But if I was faced with a shadow in a valley near death, I don't know if I'd want to walk. I'd probably want to run. to get out of that thing as fast as I possibly could. But David says, yea, though I walk. You see how safe he feels? You see how confident he feels that God will care for him? He doesn't have to run in fear from these situations. He walks right down through the valley of the shadow of death. Just walks right down through there. And he gives the reason that he's able to do that. And he says, I'll fear no evil, because for thou art with me. That's why. When the Lord's with us, we don't have to fear any evil. When we're with the Lord, we don't have to fear any evil. He goes on to say in the latter part of that verse, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's interesting in studying about shepherding. Of course, I don't know that shepherding nowadays is quite the same as what it was at the time David wrote this. Now they get the dogs and the shepherds ride on horses, or they ride in trucks, and you know, and they've got thousands of sheep instead of just a few. Jesus talked about a man who had 100 sheep, and I guess probably at that time that was quite a few sheep, but now you know they have flocks of thousands of sheep. And they don't probably know them all by name like they did back then. Jesus talks about the good shepherd knowing his sheep by name, and that they know his voice and he knows them, and those kinds of things. And I can just imagine David feeling that way when he was a shepherd boy. When he was watching over those sheep, he talks to King Saul about how when the lion came, he defeated the lion, and the bear came, and he defeated the bear to protect those sheep. And he was talking about his ability to go out against Goliath at that time. But we see that he was a good shepherd, and he learned those things. He was with those sheep. He was surrounded by them. He was there to protect them. And doubtless he had a staff and a rod. They're two different instruments that the shepherd uses. The staff, which you've probably seen the shepherd's staff, it's the one with the hook on the top of it, the hook neck. And then the rod, which is just that, a rod, just a straight piece of wood, a rod. And they're used for two very different purposes. The staff, of course, is for the shepherd to keep his footing and to be able to make it through the rough terrain, but also in cases where a sheep may be in danger, he can reach out with that hook and hook that sheep and pull him out of that danger. And he can do that then from 6 or 7 feet away. And he can you know, if the sheep has wandered to the edge of a mountainside and has gotten himself into danger, he can reach down and pull him back up. And that certainly would be a comfort. David says, thy staff, the staff comforts him. But he also says the rod comforts him. The rod is a very interesting piece of equipment, because the rod is used for quite a different purpose and yet still a similar purpose. The rod is used for discipline. We see passages throughout the book of Proverbs that talk about using the rod. He that spares the rod hates his own son, the proverb writer says. He's talking about using that form of corporal punishment, spanking, with that rod, using something physical to drive home the point. But here, David says, the rod comforts me. Do you ever think about the fact that being disciplined, being punished, can be a comfort? In the New Testament, it said that the Lord, those whom the Lord chastens, He loves. Those whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He chastens us. He disciplines us. He punishes us when we do wrong. David had certainly experienced that. He certainly experienced times when he had done wrong. And he had come back to God. God had disciplined him, punished him sometimes. Sometimes, though, when he had done well, God had rewarded him as well. All of those things come together. But that rod that the shepherd carries is used for punishment. If the sheep goes and gets moving in the wrong direction, trying maybe to go through a narrow valley pass or something of that nature, and one of the sheep just won't go, that rod pops that sheep. The shepherd pops that sheep with the rod, and that sheep will go on where he's supposed to go most of the time. I heard someone who had talked with actual shepherds and had studied this much more in depthly, explained too that that rod is even at times used when a sheep has become belligerent to the point where that sheep just will not do whatever the shepherd wants. The shepherd will actually use that rod to break the sheep's leg so that it can't walk. And during the time when that, usually this is done with a small lamb, as it's growing and it becomes unruly, he'll break that leg, and then in the process, he of course then has to care for that lamb. He'll bind up the wound. He'll then take that lamb, and the lamb can't walk, so he'll have to carry that lamb everywhere. And it's interesting that that pain that's inflicted by that shepherd with his rod then turns into the sheep depending on the shepherd. And that's the way God does us when we're disobedient, when we're unruly. He disciplines us, even to the point sometimes of breaking our will, so that we'll have to depend on Him. So that we'll come to understand that He is there to protect us and to care for us. And as we look at this psalm, we see that David, having experienced both sides of that, having experienced God delivering him from the hand of the lion and the bear and from the hand of Saul, and also having punished him, he's able to say, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." We find this with children. Children whose parents don't set any boundaries for them, let them do whatever they want to do, those children are so miserable. They don't know where to go, what to do, because nothing is out of bounds. My wife was telling me the other day, we were talking along this similar subject, and she said that in her education study, they did a study with some children, and they found that if you have a playground for children to play on, if there's a fence around that, a boundary limit on where they can go, those children will spread all over that whole playground. Some will be over here, some out there. And they'll just enjoy playing all within that boundary. But she said what happens when they took the fence away and they just had a playground with no boundaries was that all the children huddled together in the middle. Because they were scared to go. They didn't know where they could. They didn't know if it was safe out there. You see, they know when that fence is up, they know, hey, the adults have put that fence up to protect us. And we're safe as long as we stay within that fence. Now, they may not be thinking that, but instinctively they know that. And we understand that as well. You look at us as Christians, we have the boundaries of God's laws. And because of that, we can enjoy our lives much more than those who have no boundaries and do whatever. They look everywhere to find pleasure, and they wind up miserable. You see, discipline, having limits and boundaries, and having consequences for wrong actions can be a comfort to us. It was a comfort to David, and was to the sheep that he had shepherded in his youth. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." When the shepherd takes his sheep out into the pasture, all around that pasture, in the mountains, in the forests around that pasture, the sheep's enemies are there. The wolves, the lions, the bears, all of those predators are out there. But right there in the midst, right in front of all of those enemies, the shepherd has prepared a place for those sheep to eat a feast and to enjoy themselves. God cares for us. He protects us and He prepares for us that table in the presence of our enemies, even. With enemies all around us. We know there is evil all around us. We know Satan's out there like a roaring lion. But even knowing that, we know that God is there to protect us. And He will provide for us the things that we need. He talks about, "Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over." God blesses us so much that our cup is just running over. when we're trusting Him to be our shepherd. Many times, though, there are those who try to trust themselves. Isaiah says, all we as sheep have gone astray. There are times in sheep's lives, I guess, when they decide that they know better than the shepherd, and they go astray. Or perhaps they don't do it on purpose. Perhaps they just are eating along and they wander a little and eat some more and wander a little and eat some more. Before long they look up and they're, whew, I'm a long way from the rest of the flock. So we have to realize that we need to trust that Jesus knows best, that God knows best, that their shepherding is the best for us rather than trying to do things on our own. Then in verse 6 he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Those are two things that I wouldn't want to live life without. How about you? Imagine life without goodness. We think about the tragedy that occurred this past week, and we think about the evil that perpetrated that. But what if everyone, what if all of the world, what if all of life was like that? What if there was no goodness and everything was evil? Well, that truly would be hell then, wouldn't it? And that's what the Bible defines hell as, a place where God does not go. There is no good there. It's only evil. And because of that, the people there are suffering pain and anguish and sorrow and in darkness because there's no light there. But then he also mentions mercy. Oh, how beautiful mercy is. Goodness is wonderful. But because of the fact that none of us can be good enough, we need that mercy along with the goodness of God. We need His mercy. David says that goodness and that mercy will follow him all the days of his life. And then he makes a decision as well in the last verse. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a decision we can make. There are religious groups and religious teachings out there that say that we don't have any choice in the matter. God picks the people He wants to be saved, and that's the way that is. And He picks the people that are going to be lost, and that's the way that is, and there's nothing we can do about it. But David seemed to not believe that. He thought we had a choice in the matter. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, notice the word dwell. He didn't say, I'll come visit the house of the Lord. He said, I will dwell. In other words, I'll live there. I'll stay there. I know young people, and I guess maybe it's becoming a common phraseology, but when I was young, people would say, well, where do you stay? And somebody said, well, I stay such and such. Okay, well, where's your house? And it was sometimes two different places because they didn't live at home. They didn't stay at home. They didn't dwell at home. Maybe they stayed with grandma or an aunt or something like that, but their home, their house, was somewhere else. Their family was somewhere else. Their parents were in a different place than where they stayed. Well, see, as Christians, we need to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's where we need to stay. It's His house. It's our home. We need to dwell there. See, there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who talk about the Lord and talk about Him being their family and, well, I'm a Christian and I'm a child of God, but they stay at the devil's house. See, we can't do that. We can't stay at the devil's house and then say that we're part of God's family. It doesn't work that way. But David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, not just for a little while either, but forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're not dwelling in the house of the Lord this morning, you need to do whatever is necessary to make that your dwelling place. If you've never become a Christian, if you never believed in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, as we're told in Mark 16:16, we must. If you've never repented of your sins, as we're told we must do in Acts 2 and verse 38. If you've never confessed Christ as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, if you have never submitted yourself to be baptized, immersed in water, as every person in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, every example in the book of Acts, they were baptized, immersed in water. From Acts chapter 2 all the way through to when Paul talks about himself in Acts 22. All the way through, they were baptized to put on Christ, to wash their sins away, to be forgiven of those sins and added to the body of Christ, to dwell in the house of the Lord. If you haven't done that this morning, then you're not dwelling in the house of the Lord. You may come and visit. You may talk about it. You may believe even that you are. But if you haven't done what Jesus said you have to do to be part of His family, then you're not part of His family. And you need to do that today. If you're here this morning and you're part of God's family, you've done all of that, but perhaps as a part of His family, as one of God's children, you've been hanging out at the devil's house too much, then perhaps you need to repent of that and come back home and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when we speak of the house of the Lord, we're not talking about this building. We're talking about the family. We're talking about the church, the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.